I'm Marissa Norcross.
And I'm Dave Freund, and this is The Next Page. Hey, Marissa, are you keeping warm?
I'm doing my best. It is quite cold out today.
It is. As we record this, so we're always a week ahead when we record. It's just bone-chilling cold.
It's January 57th, and it's... And probably a negative wind chill. The January just lasts forever for me. That's why I say it's
January almost 57. Over. It really isn't January 57th. It's the 30th. We got one more day.
Oh, I can make it.
And then we get into February.
Short month. So,
short month. Then it's March.
Birthday month.
Oh, I didn't realize. I probably do know that. It's probably in my calendar somewhere. But you're also going south.
Yes. I cannot wait. I cannot wait.
Well, enjoy yourself.
I will.
Because I know that the cold and the dark and the winter is a source of stress in your life.
It is. It is.
And that's what we're talking about today.
We are. Not really, my stress, but.
Not your stress. Well, it might be.
Maybe.
But so my post for this morning was, how are you doing with stress? And right away, if somebody sees that and they don't read into the body of my post, they're going to think, oh, Dave's going to help us figure out how to manage our stress. No, that's not at all why I wrote it. The question is, are you stressing other people out?
Mm-hmm.
So what got me thinking about this topic was one of my coaching clients sent me a link to an interview. I think it was in Inc. magazine that was done with Mark Cuban.
Mm-hmm.
And the question was, you know, what does he see? What kind of an employee does he look for? And clearly Mark looks for these employees that are smart and they're, you know, lifelong learners, blah, blah, blah. But all the things that I say, blah, 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 all the things that we would be looking for. But he also looks for somebody that helps lower his stress, doesn't add to his stress level.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think this was a great one because, you know, for our listeners' benefit, you and I were on a little bit different sides of this issue.
Mm-hmm.
So after I wrote it and we had a great conversation as I was driving yesterday, So why don't you give your perspective?
Well, you know how I feel about absolutes, making any kind of absolute statement. So we'll start there. And I believe in the interview, he talks about it being like the golden ticket to being his best employee, is to be someone that reduces his stress level.
Someone who is invaluable and who he will never part with.
Right. Never part with.
Never.
Right.
So always and never.
Right. So that's my first issue. And while I agree that it is important to, you know, keep stress out of the organization as a whole, you know, no one wants added stress, whether it be your boss, your coworker, your direct report. I mean, no one wants that, the drama, anything like that. So I agree there. I disagree that the most important thing you can do is essentially manage someone else's emotions.
Agreed 100%.
So, you know, if you don't know who Mark Cuban is, just go watch an episode of Shark Tank. There's typically reruns on every night. I'm sure it's on Netflix. And, you know, you might understand why he makes such a bold statement. But I think for the everyday, we definitely need to think about, are we adding stress? Because we don't want to be doing that. So
correct.
That's where I'm at in agreement with you.
Yeah, exactly. And so really, when we dialogued, we weren't that far apart.
No.
But we did approach this from two different perspectives.
Mm-hmm.
So I was approaching it from a perspective, and I think I wrote about that, you know, that my 12 years as a senior leader and my probably 20 years as a mid-level leader, that there were employees that I had that just created so much stress for me.
Which is a problem.
Which is a problem. Yeah. And so while it's not up to them to manage my stress level, I also realized that because all of us have a boss that we report to, there were also times when I was probably creating stress for my boss, which is something all of us need to think about. And so, you know, I had just put three things in my post that went out this morning, and then I wrote a bunch of other thoughts down here. But, you know, ways that we create stress, not just for our boss, but for the whole organization.
Mm-hmm.
There are the the drama kings and queens. You know, they just, everything is a big deal.
Office politics.
Yeah. You know, so-and-so didn't invite me to the, well, quite frankly, I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm sorry. It's not first and second grade again. This is, you know, we're grown-up people, and leave the politics at home, leave the drama at home. You know, so-and-so got a new chair and I didn't. I, you know, literally those have been the types of things that, well, why did he get that kind of chair and I didn't get a chair like that?
Mm-hmm.
And there were times when I was the senior leader and I just felt like saying, I don't care.
Right.
You know, you want my chair? Take my chair. I don't care. But those are the type of things where we need to realize, are we acting like adults
right.
or acting like children?
And do you need, you know, is it required for your boss to get involved?
Right.
Or are you just complaining?
Exactly. And if your goal of just of complaining is just to get some attention from someone, it's not wise to do that to your boss.
It won't be the kind of attention you want.
You're going to get attention, but it's not going to be good. You know, and I have to say this, that the people that I promoted were people that added so much value to the organization that they made my job in their area easier.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have to worry about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if and so long as somebody was doing a good job and the results were there and they got things done, I didn't micromanage them at all. I didn't
right.
need to.
Right.
You know, and so maybe if you have a boss that's micromanaging you, perhaps it's the way you're communicating your tasks to them.
Mm-hmm.
So the other person, and this was a great one because it reminded me of my first job, the not my job syndrome.
Yeah.
So when I was a senior in high school, I was done. My day was finished at about 12:35. So I got a job at a local manufacturing company, and I won't mention their name, although anybody that hears this that worked there is going to know exactly what I meant if it wasn't the time. But there was this custodian who was he was an immigrant. From, I'm going to guess, one of the Baltic countries mm-hmm. in Europe. I don't remember his name, but anytime you asked him to do anything, you would get this, not my job.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, what? It's not my job. You know, could you help me with this? Not my job. Like, but, and so that was, I think maybe that's why nobody knew his name, because we just referred to him as not my job.
Mm-hmm.
He did a good job cleaning the bathrooms and things and sweeping, but boy, if you asked him to help move a box, that's not my job. But there's people in our organizations that are like that. Well, I don't get paid to do that. Well, you know, if the company is giving you a paycheck
mm-hmm.
and it needs to be done, you do get paid to do that.
Right.
I actually remember another company where I worked where there was this woman, she was complaining to the GM about a job she was doing. She was a machinist, and she was a pretty good machinist, but she was complaining to the GM about this job, and he was actually from Switzerland, and he had no patience for her. And that's not because he was Swiss, but he just had no patience for her. And she was whining and complaining, and he looked at her and he goes, "Do you get paid by the hour?" And she said, "Yes." And he just said, "Enjoy." And he walked away. So don't check your job description. Just do what needs to be mm-hmm. done.
Right.
That adds value to the organization.
Right. You don't need that attitude that, you know, we've talked about attitude recently. And
right.
to come into something, even just thinking that, like, get that out of your head. For certainly stop adding it to your organization as a stressor. But, you know, just erase that right out of your head that's even something you should be thinking about.
Right. Exactly. And, you know, this morning I was listening to a podcast on how do we become extraordinary.
Mm-hmm.
And the simple thing is the difference between ordinary and extraordinary is extra.
Extra, yeah.
So, and it's just a little bit of extra. Those mm-hmm. five letters that I hope I spelled that right in my head that we add to ordinary move us from ordinary to extraordinary.
Mm-hmm.
So if you do one little bit extra, you're extraordinary.
Mm-hmm.
Especially in a world where it seems that many are searching for mediocrity
mm-hmm.
as opposed to excellence.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a great way to set yourself apart. The third item that I put on my post was not completing your tasks on time. that just creates stress for everybody.
Yeah.
You know, if there's a problem, if you can't get it done, go to your boss and say, hey, I'm struggling here. I need some help, or I need a little bit of extra time.
And not just your boss, but, you know, other people you're working with.
Yes. And you know, you and I've talked about that. We talked about it on the phone yesterday, mm-hmm. where there are people that owe you something so you can do your job, mm-hmm. and they're late.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand that. How can you not value your coworkers enough to make their life easier by simply doing your job in the time frame that you're supposed to do it? So those are the three that I put in my post. There were a couple other ones that showed up in that article that I thought were noteworthy. Publicly supporting the organization.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to give an example of, this is an example I give in my supervisory leadership class. I tell people, I never want you to not be true to yourself, but rolling the company or your boss under the bus is never a good idea. And I use this example. So when I was at Volpe, this would have been like 1990, maybe 1991. I forgot exactly when the building was built, but we were in an old rented building and there was going to be a groundbreaking. Did I ever tell you this story, Marissa?
I don't think so. I don't remember a groundbreaking.
Good. So this will be great, because now our listeners and you will hear this at the same time. So there's a groundbreaking, and this was a really exciting time for us at Volpe, because we had waited a long time for the building. They brought in like a mock-up, a little model of the building, what it was going to look like. And we were so excited, because we were literally in this old building that was a fire trap. In fact, there was actually a fire about 6 months after we moved out.
Oh, wow.
And had it erupted when we were there, I don't think I'd have got all my people out. It was just
tragic. Terrifying.
But anyways, I went to my boss. So I was the production manager. So we had four managers. There was this accounting manager, finance manager, engineering manager, sales manager, and I was the production manager. And I went to my boss, and I knew him real well. I still know him, good friend of mine. He was the guy. He was the reason I was there. He's actually the guy that introduced me to John Maxwell's writing. So a really great friend of mine.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to him, I said, so when should I have my production workers at the groundbreaking? And he said, well, what do you mean? I said, well, what time? He goes, oh, they can't be there. And I think he noticed the expression on my face. And so he just said, well, you know, the owner won't let production stop. Fine. So I went back to my office, and by now my colleagues, the other three managers, had heard
mm-hmm.
what had happened. So now they're in my office because they know that I know the COO personally. You know, we're good friends. He goes to my church. You know, anyways, great guy. And they said, what are you going to do? And I said, what do you mean? What am I going to do? You know, well, how are you going to break this to your people? I said, I don't know. I'll figure something out. So what I did was I went out into our production area right at 10 o'clock. And I mean, you saw all these people leaving the building. You know, there were all these dignitary kind of people, you know, the owner's there, the owner's daughter's there from Switzerland, and all these people are getting their cars to go. And all of my production workers could see that. So I go out in the production floor and I call everybody around for a quick meeting. And I simply said this: today is a very special day in the history of Volpe. As you know, we've been talking about our new building for a long time. You've seen the models, and a groundbreaking is taking place right now. I said, unfortunately, all of us need to be here to do our jobs, to keep manufacturing going. But I wanted you all to know it so that when you go home tonight, you can watch the news, and I'm sure there'll be news media there and so on. So how did I support the company? I didn't say that I disagreed with the decision, but I profoundly disagreed with it.
Mm-hmm.
It was wrong to not let the people go to the groundbreaking.
Right.
It wouldn't have taken long. It's only like a mile from the plant that we were in. But I didn't go. I also said to my boss, he says, well, I hope you're going to come. I said, you know, if my people can't come, I'm not coming. Mm-hmm. Sorry. Mm-hmm. I just won't be there. So I supported my people, but I also supported the company. I didn't roll my boss under the bus. I didn't roll the owner under the bus, nor did I tell the people I supported the decision. I simply said, unfortunately, we need to keep manufacturing going. You put the best light in things you disagree with. Don't ever, ever trash the company. You just can't do that
right.
as a leader.
No, you can't. And no one should do that.
No, not at all. You know, I
you're
remember
employed
once,
at will. So.
Exactly. And I remember one time making a comment to my dad. I had the privilege of working in a company where my dad ran for about 7 years. And I made some comment once about the company. And that was, there were only twice in 7 years where he talked to me like a son instead of a boss.
Mm-hmm.
And they were both reprimands. but anyways, and he just sternly looked at me and he said, "Don't you ever talk about the owner of the company like that. Mm-hmm. So long as they sign your check, you owe them," you know, and he was right.
Mm-hmm.
He says, "If it's that bad, leave."
Mm-hmm.
Like, ooh, okay. Which I did some years later, but so and the other one here that Mark Cuban talks about is privately disagree. So don't get into an argument with somebody you report to in front of other people. That's not going to help you.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean you don't voice your opinion in a meeting. It means don't argue.
Right.
Because that just creates stress and sows dissension in the organization.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you need to tell you need to tell leaders and your coworkers what your opinions are, what you see as the reality, the truth. But man, don't sit there and make a scene trying to argue your point, because especially if it's your boss, you're going to lose.
That just comes right back to the drama.
Right. You're creating drama mm-hmm. that they don't need.
Mm-hmm.
So swallow hard and revisit it. You know, you don't always. And so the other thing that this is something I learned too, you know, and actually he might actually listen to the podcast because I know he reads my email. So I'm going to go back to my old boss at Volpe. When we were getting ready to put the building up, I said to him, "I think we need a daycare room," which you can appreciate.
Yeah.
And he says, "Well, what do you mean?" I said, "Well, you know, most of the people that report to me in manufacturing are women. And a lot of them are young mothers. And you know, a lot of them, they struggle with daycare." And mm-hmm. I said, "Would it be awesome if we could?" "Oh, we can't do that. We can't do that. That's no place for that in business, but whatever." I said, "Okay." Well, once we were in the building, about 2 or 3 months into the building, he comes to me, he goes, "I got this great idea." And he said, what if in the technology park here, a bunch of other companies got together and we opened up a daycare?"
Mm-hmm.
I said, "I think that would be a great idea." Now, I knew that it was a seed I planted.
Yeah.
Was it a better idea than mine? Yeah, because it would have been cost sharing. The reality was that there wasn't enough interest in the tech park to do it. But my point is, I could have sat there and argued my point with him, or I could have planted the seeds that would germinate later.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the kind of things you do when your boss might shut you down right away.
Right. Right.
So, Marissa, are there other things you can think of? Because I got a few on a list here, but I'm going to see if you do. Are there things you can think of that create stress in an organization that we haven't talked about?
I think, you know, a lot of them we talked about, you know, reliability, which kind of comes back to completing your tasks on time. But sure. I think maybe it might be a little bit more broad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're not reliable, not only are you not producing to your, you know, fullest capacity, but
right,
you're going to make it so that people don't want to work with you.
Right.
And that just, you know, again, brings everyone down. So that is certainly a stressor.
Yep.
Trying to think what else we haven't talked about.
See, for our listeners, this is one of those questions I never
know.
Told Marissa I was going to ask her.
Why don't we go through your list?
Okay, so I had gossip.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I would
being a gossip.
That in the drama category.
You know, and we all love to gossip.
Mm-hmm.
There's something weird about it that, you know, like if we can find something bad about somebody else, it somehow makes us feel better. The reliability piece, I had late to meetings and late with projects.
Mm-hmm.
The people that never find a solution, all they do is they come to you with problems.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember I finally got to a point when I was at SelfLock, when I was the president, when I said, "Listen, you can come to me with any problem you have so long as you have thought up at least one possible solution."
Mm-hmm.
And I reduced the number of people that came to me.
Yeah. And not only does that decrease the stress for your boss or the other people you work with, but I think it really also helps you as well, because you might start to search for that one solution and realize either like, A, this actually isn't an issue, or B, like, wow, look at all the possibilities here.
Exactly.
And then you don't need, you know, to take it further because you've thought enough about it.
Right, right.
And once you make that a habit, I think it's something that you don't really have to think about.
Exactly.
I always joke, like, to even just like in my family life or with my husband, I'm like, but hey, have you thought of one solution before you come calling mom?
Sure.
Like,
yeah.
It's much easier to have a dialogue, like, okay, I see where you're coming from, like, here's the possibilities, than to say, like, here's my problem, let me dump it on you.
Right.
So that I can get it off my plate.
Exactly. So those would be, I used to refer to as the employees that did a dump and run. Dump their problem and they're gone.
That's funny.
Oh, well, yeah, I know what everybody else was thinking about, but nope, that's not where I was. I was just, they dump their problem and then they're the people that are always whining and complaining.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, why can't people, if you say good morning, how are you? Well, it's like, come on, can't you one day say, I'm great, how are you? Or I'm good. Oh, you know, can't wait for Friday. It's like, oh, please. You know, and then there's the Mr. and Miss Negativity.
Mm-hmm.
That every time you see them, they're, I guess that's the same as a whiner, incredibly negative.
Yeah. I just loop all of this into the drama category.
Those are people that I literally will try to hide from.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't need you. I don't need you. And I know this sounds horrible. I don't need the negativity or the drama in my life. So I'll just find positive people to be around.
Mm-hmm.
I know that sounds terrible. But you know what? If we don't help manage our sanity, who will, right?
Maybe Bravo will pick up a television show based on all this conversation.
Oh, you never know.
some reality TV. The real employees of XYZ company.
What's it really like? Yeah. Instead of the Real Housewives, it'll be the real employees of. Well, and you know, it should be pretty easy, because if we remember the Gallup study, only about 30% of the employees are engaged at work.
Mm-hmm.
And the rest aren't. And that's tragic.
It is.
But it doesn't need to be that way, because we can change.
All of these things, I know I'm guilty of some of these. I don't think anyone can say, oh, I'm the perfect employee.
Right.
You know, I never create stress. But, well, you know, if you are, write to us, because we'd like to interview you.
Absolutely. We will give them the open mic.
Yes, you can get your own episode. Right. If you're not, then I think it'd be worthwhile to just like check in with yourself on these things.
Yeah.
And they're all really easy to correct.
Right. Yeah, exactly. They are all easy. It's a little bit of self-awareness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if you, like my grandma used to say, if you don't have something good to say, don't say anything.
Mm-hmm. Write it in your journal.
Write it in your journal, and then someday it'll be found and it'll be a major motion picture. Maybe. So, I wanted to remind people that we are looking for questions.
Because
you and I, at some point, are going to do a answer any question anybody asked us.
Mm-hmm.
So please, if you have questions, if there's things you'd like to know about us or a topic or what we think on a topic, for the most part, we probably would answer just about anything.
Yeah.
We might say it's none of your business, but
it's still an answer,
right? So please, you know, our emails are in the podcast description. Also, I haven't done this for a long time, but, you know, please subscribe. Please drop us a review.
Mm-hmm.
That would be awesome, because it helps the podcast get recognized.
Yep. Yes, it does.
So anything else? My dad used to say, anything else for the good of the order. I don't know exactly what that meant, but.
Interesting.
Anything else that you'd like to share?
No, I don't think so.
All right. Well, I don't know what we're talking about next week, because actually the idea that I floated with you would be whining, and so I'm not going to do that. I just changed my mind. So hope you have a great trip.
Thank you.
Down south, and I look forward to recording a podcast with you from sunny Florida.
But coming at you live. In sunny Florida. Yeah.
Yeah.
I could record it outside. And
you could by the pool or something, right?
Yeah, you know, like the birds and...
The birds are watered, running somewhere. Whatever. All right. So with that, I'm Dave Freund.
I'm Marissa Norcross.
And this was The Next Page.